Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. We talk fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. Let's talk to Ed in Sykesville. Morning, Ed. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. Thanks for hanging on. What's up?
Hey, no problem. It's worth it. Hey, the dams up on the Potomac River, I think it's like dam 4 and 5. Have you ever
yes.
been up there?
Yes, I have.
How is it?
It's wonderful. Now, with all this rain we had, it's not fishable, I would imagine, right now. I wouldn't even get on there. It's so dangerous. But once that water goes down a little bit, you've got walleyes, you got muskie, you've got some really, really good fishing up there. What I would do would be, if you want to focus on the walleyes, you're going to go with white or chartreuse, twister-type baits, anything that you can cast and retrieve and bounce along, jig along the bottom, that type of thing. The walleyes are really spectacular up there. Some really, really nice fish. There is a slot limit on it though, on them though, so you got to watch that. The muskies, big baits, a lot of action, a lot of noise type of stuff. The wood chopper stuff and big spinner baits and things like that. But if you want to target those muskies, downstream from dam number 4 is where to go. And walleyes are just, on the right day, you can do really well.
Now, what about, is there any camping out that way?
That's a good question. I'm sure there are campgrounds up in that, Hagerstown and Williamsport area. As a matter of fact, I know there are, and that's not far. That is actually that's actually up by the battleground there, Sharpsburg, that dam number 4. What's that?
I've never targeted that area. I've been out western Maryland from Baltimore County all down through the shore and all, but those dams, I hear a lot about those dams, and I've never never got out there.
Yep, we fished that last year, and I'll tell you, I grew up fishing in the river system up in Pennsylvania, mostly the Juniata River and up that way, and, of course, the Susquehanna here. And it's like any other, the North Branch of the Potomac when I was a kid. And it's like any place else. You got to be cautious with the water levels. You got to be careful if you're out in a boat. There are certain areas where you can access on the shoreline. Not nearly as effective as the boat. But, if you get up in a boat, I've actually fished up against the dam. And there's some structure up there. There's some cover up there. There's some holes up there, too, though. If you can get up near the dam and fish it downstream and just fish the likely-looking pockets, there's a lot of down, blowdowns and stuff like that that's drifted in. And if you drift your bait, along the edge of a log, just like any other structure, anywhere else, you're going to find fish, walleye, smallmouth, and those big muskies lurk up there. But yeah, dam number 4, if you're going to focus on one area, just from dam number 4 downstream for, half a mile.
Okay. What about access to the Monocacy? I notice that's a little sketchy.
Monocacy is real sketchy. I mean, there are some great holes in there that are fishable. There is access in Frederick. There's a park there that has a boat ramp that if you jump off 144, and take that towards town on 144, not sure what that exit number is, but when you get I think, let's see, that if you come off the exit, the second light, if you make a left and get down there, and I can't recall the name, it's across from the airport. The second light, it's right there. There's a pretty big intersection there. You'll see 70. You'll see the airport. You make that left and wind down there to the end and make another left. There's a park out there where there's a boat ramp right onto Monocacy. Brunswick has a ramp to the Monocacy as well.
All righty.
Yeah. So.
Hey, that rally, what time's that due to start Wednesday? And that is this Wednesday, correct?
Yes, it is Wednesday. I believe it's 1 o'clock.
All righty.
All right.
Okay, thanks for your time.
All right, buddy, thank you.
See ya.
Bye-bye. There he goes. Good morning, Alice. How are you?
Oh, well, having trouble sleeping again, Alan. That's why I'm talking to you.
Well, I can cure your insomnia. Just keep listening.
I don't think so. That makes me... to be wide awake these days. They're asking everybody to be at Annapolis at the stairs of the Capitol building at around 10 a.m.
10 a.m., okay. Yep. I know the bill's being heard at around 1
right,
o'clock.
But they want to have lots and lots of people there. They want to get organized. They want to have people ready and prepared to speak if they want to, or they can just stand as support, you know, basically.
What I hope is that nobody's stupid. I mean, I've been to a number of these rallies, and I've been to a number of these public hearings, and the media always picks out the guy that's the most obnoxious.
They don't want anybody in camo. They don't want anybody carrying a weapon.
No, of course not.
Or even a simulation of a weapon or something, you know, that's a fake or whatever.
Right. But. Just. Yeah, I guess you could carry a sign if you want, but I would just be respectful.
Right.
But show the force in numbers, that's for sure.
Right. So I had a question for you. You were alluding to about an hour ago that people have not been contacting you. So I'm wondering, does that mean that, like, Wayne LaPierre or Larry Pratt have never contacted you for support or collaboration?
Oh, please. You got to be kidding me.
I don't understand why not.
Because they don't even know I exist.
I don't understand why. You've obviously reached out to them, correct?
Yeah, I have. You know, I mean, well, look, we do the NRA show. We get great support from the Hunter Services, from National Rifle Association, and, you know, they every year, the last 2 years, they've come up with a great contract for us for the Hunting and Outdoor Show in Frederick, mm-hmm. giving tickets away, advertising the magazine, and I've known Bob Davis, who runs that division, for 20-some years, and Monty Emery, who's second in charge up there. I've also known him for a long, long time. So, you know, I know that division. But as far as the legislative, I've got my picture with Wayne LaPierre on the website.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't know who I am. He has no
clue. That's ridiculous. Because, you know, okay, so that makes me start thinking, like, okay, we're paying all these taxes. I grew up in Montgomery County, and I watched that city grow incredible amounts, okay, over the years. My father used to teach me that D.C. was a sleepy southern town back in the 50s.
Right.
Now, basically, all our tax money is paying for things like Nancy Pelosi's catered cocktail events and her limo drivers and her facelifts and all that kind of stuff. So now I'm concerned that all this money that we've just given to the NRA, because a whole bunch of people have joined up.
Yeah, I just bought two memberships at the show. Two three-year memberships.
So. Now, are they going to become another type of elitist crowd that we're supporting, and they're going to be driving Ferraris or something?
No. I don't believe so.
I think that we could use that money.
Well, we could use that money, and here's how it comes back to us.
We could propagandize in the other direction.
Alice, here's how it comes back to us. That's all right. Here's how it comes back to us. When we have bills like Senate Bill 281 in Annapolis, mm-hmm. There are attorneys who come to Maryland to work on this and work with some of the various groups.
From
NRA. And nobody pays them for anything.
Okay.
They do support their members. They have supported us as far as the anti-gun legislation here in Maryland in the past and on other issues. On some things, they've been against us. Last year, when the hunting license bill failed, the NRA was against us, ginned up the Republicans and said no new taxes, and, you know, didn't look at the actual issue that the wildlife and heritage did need the money, because there's no public tax money goes into wildlife and heritage, none. So it's kind of a double-edged sword when it comes to outside influences coming to our state, but they certainly do have the expertise when it comes to firearms legislation, and there's more coming. I mean, you know, Senate Bill 281 gets shelved, or doesn't make it out of committee. Then there'll be a micro-stamping law, and then there'll then there'll be something else, and there'll be a registration. Right. There'll be licensing. There'll be licensing the dealers. There'll be, you know, registration. It's one thing after another. And get to the NRA's credit, they do help us out on things like that. But locally, the Maryland Legislative Sportsman's Foundation helps with sportsmen's issues and have been very successful in the fishing and hunting world. Their area, their gun expertise is not their area. They don't have enough money, quite frankly, to mount a giant campaign as far as firearms are concerned, and that's where the NRA does come in and help.
Okay.
So,
are you planning on being there
Unfortunately, I am not going to be in Annapolis on Wednesday. I've got two other things that are scheduled, one in the morning, one's a doctor's appointment that's been scheduled for a year.
Okay.
On Wednesday, unfortunately.
Yeah, you better take care of yourself now while you can.
I would love to be there. I'll be with you in spirit, but this is something that I've got to take care of my health, and I got to put that first so I can come out here and keep talking to folks, you know.
So I have been familiarizing myself with the gun control laws from Germany. Back in 1919 with the Treaty of Versailles, they basically, everybody was disarmed in Germany. But by like 1938, they did pass some alleviation of those laws for at least Nazi Party members to be allowed to have weapons.
Right.
So I'm looking into whether or not Jews would be allowed to be a part of the Nazi Party, because but what scares me is that, you know, once you have people that are that severely disarmed, then they are defenseless, and I don't want Americans to end up like the 25 million Ukraine from this, you know, when Stalin.
Well, every tyrant, that's their first step, is to disarm the people.
That's right. And I'll tell you something else, and this is something else that everybody should know, is that the constitutions of other countries, they all have the freedom of speech and the freedom of press, freedom of assembly, and all those. However, they do not have the Second Amendment in their constitution.
That's true. And by the way, we do not have a right to keep and bear arms in the Constitution of Maryland. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
No, you do.
So thank you for telling me that. In fact, I should probably take the Constitution courses that are offered on Maryland.
Yes. Yes, you should.
Yeah, you know, I feel like, oh my gosh, this has all happened so suddenly, and we're not prepared.
Look, let me tell you who has been prepared. The people who have prepared this type of restrictive legislation, you know,
they've been all on the offense, and we've been
exactly right. And you know, you listen to this. You listen to this. This chairman of the Republican National Committee the other day, and he talked about a continuing campaign, you know, an ongoing campaign. We need to start now for 2016, and we need to, you know, have a continuous campaign going on. The Democrats have been doing this for years.
Right.
They've been doing this when Dean was the chairman of the Democrat National Committee. And they talk about continuously being in campaign mode. Look at our president.
Right.
He's
right.
an advocate of that. I'd like to read a quote to you from this is from Jennifer, one of our listeners. And it sent it to me. It's from Ayn Rand from Atlas Shrugged.
Uh-huh.
Then you will see the rise of men of the double standard, the men who live by force yet count on those who live by trade to create the value of their looted money, the men who are hitchhikers of virtue. In a moral society, these are the criminals, and the statutes are written to protect you against them. But when a society establishes criminals by right and looters by law, men who use force to seize the wealth of disarmed victims, then money becomes its creator's avenger. Such looters believe it is safe to rob defenseless men once they've passed a law to disarm them, but their loot becomes the magnet for other looters who get it from them as they got it. The race goes on, not to the ablest at production, but to those most ruthless at brutality. When force is the standard, the murderer wins over the pickpocket, and then that society vanishes in a spread of ruins and slaughter. Do you wish to know whether that day is coming? Watch money. Money is the barometer of a society's virtue. When you see that trading is done not by consent, but by compulsion, when you see that in order to produce you need to obtain permission from men who produce nothing, when you see that money is flowing to those who deal not in goods but in favors, when you see that men get richer by graft and by pull than by work, and your laws don't protect you against them but protect them against you, when you see corruption being rewarded and honesty becoming a self-sacrifice, you may know that your society is doomed.
We're there, Alan. We're there.
No kidding.
We've got to fight this, and we've got to stand strong. That's the most important thing, and we've got to do everything we can. I don't believe that all is lost. I think that
I don't think all is lost. I think that there are many men who are virtuous. Here's the situation, Alice, and you may be able to back me up on this, but I see men not being men in this country.
Yes.
I see men I see men being sensitive.
They've been chickified.
I see men. Well, yeah, they've been chickified. That's a nice way to put it. Wussified is not quite as nice, but not quite where we are yet. But
maybe neutered.
Neutered. Yeah, that's right. Exactly right. Men are not men anymore.
They need to desire not to be neutered. And you know, if women want men to be civilized, you know, they think they have to neuter them to do so. Might I point out to them that if they were not civilized, they wouldn't be standing there.
Correct.
So those women would not be standing there.
Correct.
Also, something else I wanted to say, if I don't, you don't mind me taking another second.
Take your time.
Every time anybody who's listening to my voice at this moment, if you walk into the MVA, you will see posters for the Chesapeake Bay Fund that your license, you know, plate that you purchase, you know, pay extra for, that has the blue heron on it and all that. Anytime you walk into the MVA, I want you to start mouthing off, basically, and complaining and saying, you know, I don't know why you have that thing up there when they're not using that money for the Bay anymore. Okay.
Good point. So good point.
We
need to, you know, we really need to be
vocal.
Well, we really need to look at our Bay. You know, I've talked about Chesapeake Bay Foundation, you know, creating a crisis to raise money. They've done that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I know good people who work at Chesapeake Bay Foundation and that type of thing. And, you know, I got a story here that was in the news this past week, that the Chesapeake Bay Foundation was blasted by the Kent County Commissioner Ron Fithian. There's a new coalition bringing better attention to Conowingo, which is the source for a lot of this problem with Bay.
Mm-hmm. And yet that goes totally ignored.
Pretty much, yeah. But there is a good story on that. If you'd like it, I'd be more than glad. Just send me an email, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com.
Okay.
I'll be more than glad to do that. But it's from the Chestertown Spy, February 2nd, today, as a matter of fact. Well, that's on their website. It's the lead story. It's about Commissioner Fithian. So, you know, you can check that out online if you'd like. But there's actually a video there of the meeting. And it was talking about the Citizens Advisory Committee for the Chesapeake Executive Council, consisting of 29 members appointed by governors of four states and the mayor of D.C., has written a letter to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission and the EPA to look into the problems at Conowingo before Exelon Corporation is relicensed to operate the dam in 2014. Apparently, they brought in Maggie McIntosh, a delegate from Baltimore. She is the chairwoman of the Environmental Matters Committee. And she has recently made cleaning up the Conowingo top priority.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, exactly. So it's called the Clean Chesapeake Coalition. The Clean Chesapeake Coalition, a 7-county coalition dedicated to addressing a fix at the Conowingo before the operator Exelon Power is approved for relicensing in 2014.
Excellent.
Yep. Clean Chesapeake Coalition. Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. Thanks for the call, Alice. Greatly appreciate it.
Take care.
Bye-bye. There she goes. All right. We better take a break, and then we'll talk to Pete in Catonsville. Left over from the last hour, which is where we should normally put it, but you know what? We were doing some other stuff. Sean Mann. My buddy Sean Mann. You know, look, goose season's over, except for the resident birds, for another month. And if you love to hunt Canada geese and your call isn't doing what you think it should do, maybe it's time to give them another sound. And I would recommend one of the calls by Sean Mann Outdoors. One of the calls called the Eastern Shoreman is a call that was created in 1985. And, you know, Sean Mann calls have been forefront at world championships for Canada goose calling competition and things like that. They work great in the field too. I use my Eastern Shoreman when I'm allowed to call, And it's very effective. It's the long call. It's called, you know, the Eastern Shoreman started what's called the long call revolution. More like a flute than a call, but it is capable of reproducing all the sounds of a Canada goose. And you can check yours out online at seanmann.com, SEANMANN.com, or you can call the office at Sam Talbot County, 800-345-4539, 800-345-4539. For Sean Mann, you can see all the varieties of calls online at SeanMann.com and maybe get a chance to talk to somebody in the office there. You could set up a trip with Sean to hunt in Prairie Canada for great waterfowl hunting this fall. So give it a shot. SeanMann.com, 800-345-4539. This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at the local car wash. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, with a Linex spray-on bedliner.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
This is the Wall Street Journal Report. I'm Marcy Norton. The computer world was supposed to mark the death knell for industries like direct mail marketing, but the reverse seems to be true. While we're sending one-third less mail than we did 10 years ago, the junk mail business is thriving thanks to changes in databases, computing power, and available storage. Using analytics software and huge computer storage, direct marketers have been able to refine their pitches with a new and startling precision. A decade ago, these companies might have had 10 pieces of information about each individual household. Now there are hundreds of sources of public and private data to sift through. That's changing the very nature of the consumer catalog, which retailers can now tailor to customers' perceived interests. Though retailers have long been able to use publicly available information like age, housing, and marital status, more of those elements can now be used in combination to more accurately target subgroups of customers. I'm Marcy Norton with the Wall Street Journal.
Hey, Flo.
Yeah?
Let's wrap up this leaf blowing, and then we can finish pruning the shrubs up front.
Already done. Hey, one question.
Yep.
Just hypothetically, if the shrubs were pruned to look like cartoon animals, that would be a good thing, right? Hypothetically?
Insuring your business vehicles with Progressive, like having Flo on the road with you. Low down payments, great discounts, and flexible billing options. Now that's Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today. United Financial Casualty Company and Affiliates.
Managing your own business takes a number of essential apps.
I think I have every one of them.
One is all you need.
Yeah, the contact managing one, the project tracking one, the work sharing one, and the client billing one.
No, just the all-in-one.
Which one?
Sage One, a simple web app that puts it all together for business.
That one.
The only one.
How do I get one?
Visit sagetoday.com for your 30-day free trial of Sage One.
Nice one.
That's sagetoday.com.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Cut 'em all, Jack.
We're back. Hey, Walt in Catonsville. Good morning. How you doing, Walt?
Good morning, Alan.
What's up?
Yeah, I got a couple questions.
Sure.
First of all, I've spoken to you many times.
Yep.
About the Inner Harbor area.
Yep.
When would we be able to start picking up rockfish in the harbor again?
I'm going to guess that's just like any fish activity. All depends on water temperature primarily. Right. You watch your water temperature. You're going to get some activity right around the low 50s, 51, 52, 53 degrees, somewhere
so
in there.
First April.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You know that spawning event up in up on the Susquehanna Flats, and again, I've spoken to the biologist many times about that catch and release season up there that comes in, I believe, in March. I just don't like that whole concept of that catch and release on those big spawning females.
Yeah, I don't want to go catching cows.
Right, exactly.
I just want to be able to go out and catch some of the little ones and, light tackle and such. And my question, too.
Yep.
And I've spoken to you about the local lakes.
Yep.
When do the crappies start?
Again, water temperature.
Okay.
Low 60s.
In what?
Low 60s.
Low
60s.
That would be
60, 62, 65. That's getting a little further into the spring.
But, that's when the spawn starts.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Everything pretty much depends on temperature when it comes to that. Because first, the conditions have to be right for spawning. They just don't go and say, hey, it's April 15th, time to drop the eggs.
Right.
These big cows have these eggs now. I mean, they've had them all winter.
You're talking about the stripers.
Stripers, that's why I've been so against these Chesapeake Bay bridge tunnel seasons, which was a dismal disappointment this year, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, it was. And, I think we've overfished them to a point right now.
That it's dangerous.
The Young of the Year survey was down. I suspect it's going to be down again this year. Look, we're our own worst enemies when it comes to this. When fishing's good, everybody piles on. It is. And look, can't blame people for wanting to catch fish. Nothing wrong with that.
It's a sporting.
It is. But charter boat guys, they're in the charter boat business to make money. If they can get six guys out there and each catch two big cows, 50-pounders, and take them home, take them out of the water, say, hey, look what I caught, that's what they do. That's what they do. And there's no other opportunity to catch them like that. Should you release them? Well, probably. They probably should implement a little stringent, more controls on it, but... I would think that the charter boat captains would want to implement something of their own. But that human nature is what it is.
Yeah.
But everything's dependent on water temperature. The stripers can come in here. They can start coming in here in March and stage in the river, stage at the mouth of the rivers. They're vulnerable, of course. They're going to wait till the water temperature hits optimum because those eggs, those fertilized eggs have to survive. Those little tiny fry have to survive, and they can't do it if it's if the conditions aren't right.
What was it, Agnes that wiped them out that led to the moratorium?
No, it wasn't Agnes that wiped it out. It was overfishing that wiped them out. Agnes was in the early 70s, and the moratorium was in the mid 80s. So.
Well, they laid claims to a storm that took out a year of spawning.
Well, they probably did. Yeah, they probably that was probably Agnes that did that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, more than likely, but I don't know if you can just point to one year that wiped out spawning. I mean, it did change the entire structure of the Upper Bay. So, which the last couple of years have been awful as well. However, this past year, even with all the weather, the Upper Bay, the grasses came back. The fishing was phenomenal for largemouth bass, and conditions couldn't have been better. So,
and also, I just wanted to touch on the crappie. You say the water temperature would be 65?
No, I'd say low 60s. But I mean, a lot of people concentrate on crappies now, even though they're not spawning. I mean, they are.
And that was the point I was going to address.
The bigger ones, you're going to need to wait till closer to spawn. But if you target the bigger ones, you got to get through the little ones.
Right. What it is I've noticed in as soon as the ice clears,
yeah,
it seemed like some years ago I was unemployed for a season, and I went up to one of the local lakes just for out of the blue, too early for bass. I just threw a line over, and I started catching these huge crappie. Of course, I was releasing them because I truly don't take spawning fish.
Where were you fishing?
You know, Centennial.
Oh, those are,
Columbia Lakes. Sure. The one out on Liberty Road, not Liberty Dam.
Oh, you're talking about Piney Run.
Piney Run.
Yeah, that has some really nice crappie fishing in it on some on structure,
But there's like a two-week window.
Yep.
And if you don't hit it, you're going to just catch your little six-inch crappie.
Yep. We're going to talk to, we're going to talk to Dale in Easton, fisheries biologist who used to run the Chesapeake Bay program. Hold on. Okay, Dale, good morning.
Good morning, Professor. How are you?
Good, Doctor. How are you?
Don't forget deal periodicity.
Deal periodicity. Go ahead there.
Photo period. No, it's just the amount of daylight, the 24-hour period.
Right.
What that does with a lot of species, just as it does with a lot of wildlife, it increases the actual movement. The spawning is certainly triggered by water temps, but the actual, some of the movements, early on movements, are triggered by increase in daylight.
Right.
So that's important. So you can get a lot of these fish moving into these areas, not actually spawning, well ahead of when they actually spawn, Alan.
Oh, yeah, you can catch them.
Sure.
Yeah, you can catch them. But the question was, when do they spawn?
Yeah, but again, they'll be there. A lot of the yellow perch are already in some of these deeper holes working their way up.
Right. So, right. Are they catchable at this point?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Most certainly.
All right.
Oh, certainly. So,
yep.
But just keep that in mind, because as the daylight, particularly with the crappies, it was a good question by the gentleman. Because
he's still on the line. Walt, you're still on the line.
Yes,
the crappies will begin to move a lot more as the amount of daylight increases.
Okay. Deal periodicity.
Photo period.
Yeah. Got it, that, Walt? Did you write that down? D-E-A-L.
I didn't hear. I couldn't hear it.
Deal.
another way, Alan, a term is called photo period.
Photo period, Walt.
Yes.
Increasing amount of daylight in a 24-hour period.
Yes.
And that's your biology lesson for the day.
There you go, Walt. That's your biology lesson for the day.
I appreciate that.
And I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Dale.
Does he have a window of the
Nope, Dale. He left us. I don't know the answer to that, Walt, but I'll try and get a better answer for you.
Okay. Well, I listen every Saturday.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, Alan.
See ya. Bye-bye. There he goes. There we go. Thank you. And we'll take Don, and then we got to take a break. Good morning, Don. How are you?
Good morning, Al. Hey, you know, they talk about all these background checks and stuff like that. They want to do mental background checks. You know, Morsi from the Brotherhood in Egypt.
Yeah.
He wouldn't be able to buy Daisy Red Rider, but we're giving him F-16s and Abram tanks. It boggles my mind.
That's true. Well, that's kind of held up a little bit right now. Let's hope. But
I hope.
Yeah, but we'll see what happens. Appreciate the good point.
Yeah, and also, hello.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, even Obama wouldn't be able to buy Daisy Red Rider in this state because you can't do a background check on him because you can't find anything about him. Everything's been sealed.
I got you. Okay, Don, thank you very much. I want to talk about this thing called universal background checks, okay? Remind me, universal background checks when we come back from the break. Right now it's time for me to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop. Clyde is located at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. They're your headquarters for fishing, for the crappies, for the striped bass, for the you name it. They're there for you. Of course, they do specialize in firearms as well. They have a great gun case and a great gun rack back there. If any of you want to do any hunting, late season stuff or, resident Canada geese, rabbit hunting, squirrel hunting, they've got firearms for that. Great firearms from Browning, I might add, as well. And for those of you in the shooting sports, man, I'll tell you what, take a look at that Satori, that 725 sporting model, the over and under shotgun. What a nice shotgun. 5 injector DS choke tubes, a ported barrel, triple trigger system, Vector Pro, lengthened forcing cones, and if you like to hunt upland birds like my buddy Jim does, the 725 field model is also available at Clyde Sports Shop. Again, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne. The fishing hotline is 247-FISH. You can check them out online at clydesports.com or call them at 410-242-6108. That's 242-6108.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, you can join hundreds of your fellow fishermen out there in the Maryland Fishing Challenge. It is time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge, and you, yes, you, could win great prizes like the grand prize boat, motor, and trailer rig from Bass Pro Shop, thousands in tackle from Bill's Outdoor Center, prizes from great sponsors like the World Fishing Network and Under Armour. From now through Labor Day, all you have to do is go fishing. If you're lucky enough to catch a Maryland citation-sized fish or crab and certify your catch, you're in. It's that easy. There are more than 60 species of fish in freshwater in our tidal rivers, the Chesapeake Bay, and on the Atlantic coast that qualify for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. Stop by your local fishing citation center, check the fishing rule book, or visit www.dnr.maryland.gov for all the details in the 2013 Maryland Fishing Challenge and the Citation Fish Program. That's www.dnr.maryland.gov. My question is, are you, yes you, feeling lucky?
This is Alan Ellis for Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface and is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex at Glen Burnie now offer the new Linex Premium that looks better and lasts longer. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie is located at 400 Arundel Corporation Road, just off Beltway Exit 3A. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
But I'll take down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get a bite all day, but don't you rush away. What a great place to rest your bones, and mighty fine for skipping stones. You feel fresh.
Okay. Well, here we are at 6:45 in the morning. Legal shooting time is now. If you are out hunting, that is 1/2 hour before sunrise, which is at 7:15 this morning. So we thought it'd be good to go to our field reporter up in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, try and get him on the phone. And we have him on the hotline right now. Dave, are you there? Hello, Dave. I don't know where Dave is. I guess we've lost our connection. Dave's a friend of mine. He traveled up to Punxsutawney this morning, and he was going to give us a live report from the field, but I can't seem to raise him on the phone. Did you get a connection yet, Pat? All right. I don't know what's going on with that. But he said he's going to have a surprise for us, and he's pretty much going to guarantee that there will not be six more weeks of winter. So what does that mean? If the groundhog sees his shadow, there's six more weeks of winter. If he doesn't see his shadow, it's in early spring. So I don't understand Dave's comment. He said he's going to guarantee that there won't be six more weeks of winter. All right. Do we have Dave? Do we have a connect? Dave? I think I heard something, Dave. And the connection went dead. I don't know what. I'm not sure what happened there. Anyway, 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. I will wait and see. I can't get Dave on the cell phone. It must be this building. I can't get my cell phone service out of there much. All right. All right, don't forget the gun rally today. Not today. The gun rally is at on Wednesday on the steps of the state capitol. Supporters of Second Amendment rights are asking as many people as possible to show up at the rally. Do yourself a favor, please, people. Please dress in appropriate clothing. You know, like business casual, pair of slacks, sport coat. You have to wear a tie. You can wear a sweater. It's going to be cold. You can wear a jacket. But please don't go in your camo. Please don't put, you know, your fox hat on if you have one. I mean, you can. But you're going to be a magnet to the news media. Go as a respectable citizen of the state of Maryland who is a firearms owner, who if somebody thrusts a microphone in your face, have something that you know you're going to say. If a reporterette comes up and says, "Why are you here today?" Well, you just simply say, "I'm here to defend my constitutional rights given to me under the Second Amendment." And that's all you have to say. Or you can say, "I'm here to support people who legally own firearms as a citizen of the state of Maryland." Or you could use the word subject if you want, because that's what they're trying to make us. But just have something very short, very sweet compared, something, write it down, write it on your hand, you know, be Joe Flacco, put it on your wrist, you know, your schedule plays. If somebody happens to be at the rally and you see all these news media are going to be there, and trust me, they all have their reserved parking spots along State Circle. You know, dozens and dozens of parking spots are reserved for the media during the session. They're going to be there. If you're on the steps of the Capitol, they will be there as well. And, you know, if you look like a goofball, they're going to focus on you. You know, if you want to be ignored, just look like a regular person. But unless you want to be on TV, which if you're that desperate to be on TV, I wouldn't recommend that you go. But have something prepared to say. I'm just here as a citizen of Maryland, supporting my rights to keep and bear arms under the Constitution of the United States, the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. That's all you got to say. And you won't be of interest to the news media because you're like everybody else, and that's a good thing. But if you get on TV and you say that, and you look, you know, you don't look, have a glazed over, set of eyeballs, and you're not frothing at the mouth, and you're not wearing, something stupid, You may get your point out to thousands of other people who may see you on the evening news or hear you on the radio. So that's just my word of advice. All right. Let's see. Jim in UMBC. Good morning, Jim. How are you?
Good morning, Dave. How you doing?
Alan.
Oh, I'm sorry. Alan. Yeah. I'm doing okay. I'm working, which is a good thing. But what burns me up overall with all this, the politicians going after your right to defend yourself, they either have a concealed carry permit or else they have armed bodyguards.
Well, yeah.
Baltimore had to pay $2,000 in overtime for her armed patrolman to go to San Francisco with her on vacation.
Of course.
She thinks she's that important.
Of course. Their lives are more valuable than ours because they're important.
No, self-important. That's the problem.
No. They are important. They are
voting them in.
They are important. We elect them, so they're important. They have power. They have power to rule over us.
We're giving them the power, and then we stand by and let them do this.
Hey, Jim, you just hit the nail on the head. We give them the power, and we can take it away as citizens of the United States, don't we?
But as citizens, like in Maryland, we don't. We keep voting the same. They're sheep. They keep voting the same people in over and over.
Who is they, Jim? I don't keep voting for the same people over and over. Do you?
Hell no, but you know what? The majority does.
Why?
That's why I don't know why.
Because they're uninformed. They're ignorant. They're low information voters, if you want to use a term that I've stole from Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, I can deal with that.
Okay, good. Yep. All right.
Look, I wish you well with your health issues.
I appreciate that. Nothing urgent, folks.
I'm glad to hear it.
Don't get the wrong impression.
I've called you a few times. And I will continue to listen.
Good. Well,
I get to work.
Okay, Jim. Listen, I got to talk about universal background checks. Thanks. All right. Have a good day. Universal background checks. Do you understand what that means? Okay, Hunter, Mr. Hunter, out there. Look, you've got a .30-06 rifle, and it's been a good rifle to you. And now you bought something different. You know, you bought something a little lighter, maybe a 270 or whatever. And you know, you want to hand off that 30-06 to somebody, or maybe you want to pay for the 270. So your hunting buddy has always expressed an interest in your 30-06, and you call him up and you say, "Hey Jim, you want to buy my 30-06? Yeah, $400. You'll take it? Yeah, well, that's a good scope on it. You know, okay, good. All right, cool, man. Bring the money over. I'll give you the gun." Well, the government wants to have a background check now for you and Jim to toddle on down to your local federal firearms licensed dealer or your local state police office, and you got to fill out paperwork, and you got to get a background check on Jim, and Jim's got to, you know, the money has to take place there, and that's a universal background check. That's what that's talking about. Yeah, you can't sell your gun to your hunting buddy. You can't sell your shotgun to your uncle. You can't sell you. Yeah, that's what they're talking about as far as universal background checks. You want to give your gun? You want to give your gun to your son when you pass? Hey, guess what? Your son's going to have to get down to a federal firearms licensed dealer and fill out the paperwork and get a universal background check. A background check. That's what they're talking about when they talk about universal background checks. Yeah, you can't sell your gun to your buddy. That's what they're talking about. You can't do it in Maryland with a handgun. You cannot do it. With a handgun, you got to go to the state police. You got to leave the gun in the car. You got to take you and your buddy into the state police barracks. You got to write down the model number. You got to write down the barrel length. You got to write down the serial number. You got to write down the make, the model, the caliber. And you take that into the state police office and you say, "My friend wants to buy my Colt Python 44 Magnum." State police officer says, "Okay, give me all the information. Is this your friend?" "Yes." "Fill this form out. We'll let you know in 10 days to 2 weeks." Yeah, that's how it is with a handgun. That's how these universal background checks that they're talking about so much in the news. That's how that works. Won't be able to privately sell a firearm to anybody else, family member, hunting buddy, none of the above. That's what a universal background check is. Tom in Baltimore. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes, sir. You're up.
I just wanted to say what a shame it is that those who do wrong in society dictate what those of us who are law-abiding citizens and do right
yep.
can do.
Yep.
Doesn't that just stand the whole idea of common sense on its head?
As Lefty Cray used to say, or still does, common sense ain't so common.
And real quick, one of your previous callers talked about, you know, is it too late? What can we do? It reminded me of...
I don't recall that, but okay.
...the founding of this country and how the founding fathers didn't jump right into uproarious anger at George. They actually... approached him so many times in such a deferential and respectful way, saying in basic terms, "Please, we just want to be left alone."
Right.
They extended the olive branch time and time again.
Yep.
And to the point that even George, by some accounts...
You're talking King George III. Not George Washington. You're talking King George III. The colonists tried to appease George and say, "Let us alone. We want to do our own thing." And he kept imposing higher and higher taxes and more restrictions on the colonies.
And before picking up arms, you know, they basically, you know, filed what you might call a lawsuit.
Yep.
The Declaration of Independence was saying, "Look, you know, what's happening here is not right. And here's what has to be."
Right.
And time and time again, they gave him respect. And
unfortunately, it didn't work, did it, Tom?
It didn't.
No.
Though it'll work this time.
It's not going to work. Thank you, buddy. I appreciate the call. We got to move along. Joe on his cell phone. Thanks for holding on, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Alan. How are you?
Good. I didn't mean to give that guy. We're running out of time, and I wanted to get your call in and a couple others. So I didn't mean to cut him off
That's
so quickly,
right.
But you know.
I want to start. I appreciate what you're doing. I really do want to thank you. It was the case was made last night by Michael Peruca that the Second Amendment does not self-enforce. It needs champions, and I venture to say that you're one of those champions.
I don't know about that, but you know, we got to get we got to get the information out there. And if anybody
you're the best one on at 7 a.m. on Saturday.
Well, I appreciate that. But if anybody wants the information on the Senate Bill 281, I'll be more than glad to forward them that information. And we're going to publish that entire Maryland Shall Issue pamphlet outlining the highlights of the bill in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly coming up. I know it's not a gun magazine, but it's certainly important for hunters and gun owners who love modern sporting rifles, and they're becoming more and more popular. You know, I mean, Jim Zumbo, for God's sake, friend of mine, Jim is a friend, lost his job with Outdoor Life. He lost his endorsement by Remington. He lost his livelihood because he criticized the appearance of what he called, unfortunately, a terrorist rifle when he was talking about the modern sporting rifle. He didn't feel there was a place for it, but that was his opinion. And he found out very quickly, just like the Harrisburg Eastern Sports and Outdoor Show, which would have started today, also found out that you don't trample on our Second Amendment rights in this country.
Well, I just wanted to thank you for what you're doing. And you made a very valid point earlier. Appearance is everything. We're living in an optics society.
That's right. Yep, you want to get your 15 minutes of fame. Don't get it in a coonskin cap and a you know, camo jacket with a sign on it that says "Don't tread on me." Just go and show solidarity is what we're talking about. Look like a reasonable person, not like a frothing at the mouth gun nut. And that's what they want to focus on, and they always do.
Anything else, and you're just being selfish.
Exactly. All right, Joe, appreciate that.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. Hey, Andy. Give me a call next week. I'm sorry I couldn't get to your call this morning, but I appreciate it. And let me see if he's still there. Andy's gone. Okay. Well, wow. Wildly varying subjects here today, which I love. Try to help you out with all that as much as I can. We got folks that listen that can give us the answers, and hope you learned something today, at least about universal background checks and at least about our state government's attempt to trample our rights as legal firearms owners who haven't done anything wrong, who obey the law. All we want to do